Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I said, you've heard this story in Sunday school. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Like everything that happens in the Bible, it happens at a particular time. There's always a context. And I want to talk a little bit about when they lived. We've crossed many centuries in the Bible, by the way. We started at the creation in Genesis, and we've talked about lots of things over lots of eras of time. You guys have seen me draw this before, right? Sinai Peninsula, Egypt, right? Nile River, Egypt. We're not going to draw the entire Arabian Peninsula, but it goes roughly like that. And from here come the two rivers, right? The Tigris and the Euphrates. And here's the world of the ancient world. There were three major powers. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. I always delight to know this, that in the ancient world there were three major powers. How many major powers are there right now? Three, right? Us, Russia, China. And it creates sort of the what? The staring at each other like who's going to get stronger. And here's what would happen in the ancient world. One of them would invade the other one. And then when you were not into the war, you know what you would do? You would always help the weaker party, right? Why would you help the weaker party? Because if they lose, you're stuck facing the other guy by yourself, right? And so these three fought and fought and fought. And what's right here? Israel. So what did everybody do? Invade Israel over and over again. So here's what happened. You've heard this man's name before, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's father created what we call the Neo-Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar was his greatest general. And Babylon started expanding. And Egypt thought, well, we can't have Assyria fall. And so Egypt marched north, but Assyria did fall. Babylon conquered it, and Babylon conquered this. And Babylon never invaded Egypt, but they did destroy the Egyptian army. So Nebuchadnezzar, the first one of the era to conquer both the other enemies. How powerful was Nebuchadnezzar? Extremely. Nebuchadnezzar, can you imagine if we defeated at the same time Russia and China? You would say that's not even feasible. By the way, who wants to start that anyway, right? But Babylon marched and marched, and he won and he won. Now, he became the undisputed ruler of the entire area. Small nations fall under it. Israel was conquered by Babylon. And here's how it enters the Bible. We often say, people refer to the exile, right? The Jews were exiled to Babylon. There were three exiles. The Babylonians exiled Jews to Babylon in 605, 597, and 586 BC. And 586 is when they destroyed Jerusalem. Now, Daniel and these other three fellows were taken to Babylon right there. In Daniel chapter 1, we're told this wonderful passage. It says that the Babylonians invaded Israel, and they took not many people, but just a few people, all really smart young men, took them back to Babylon to educate them in the Babylonian language and culture and politics, and they were going to serve the king. Did you know that? That's so Daniel, I want us to hear this. Daniel, as a young man, is born in Israel, and these other three guys as well, born in Israel. In their teenage years, are taken to Babylon. They're taught how to write in cuneiform and Akkadian and all those things. And what are they going to do? Serve the king. They're going to be advisors. They're going to study. They're going to learn. Now, here's the reason I want us to know this. We're going to get to Daniel 3 in a second. Because this is the challenge for you, for me. The challenge is this. Believers living in an unbelieving world, right? Where are you? You are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are the majority of people in our country believers in Christ? They are not. Right? I don't want you to know that. So they are not. Maybe some of us are old enough to remember when they were, but they are not. So let's be clear about that. Believers living in an unbelieving world. Now, how did they do it? What did they do? I want us to pick up a couple points. Are you ready for them? One of them is they worked hard. The Bible lets us know, and by the way, this has happened with other people like Joseph back in the book of Genesis. Joseph lived in Egypt. How did he work? These are the two words I always love to say, faithfully and well. So, let me ask you this. If you're a Christian and your boss is not a Christian, how are you supposed to work? Faithfully and well. I want us to get that, right? So the message of the church, you're supposed to do a good job. It always breaks my heart when in some employers they sort of feel like, oh, there's a guy here, he's a Christian, but he works like half as much as anybody else. Let that never be said. Your job is to work faithfully and well, to go to work, to do a good job, to do your best every single day, right? Even if your boss is an unbeliever. Some people say, well, my boss is an unbeliever, I don't owe him that respect. Yeah, you do. You owe the boss that respect. So that's the first thing, you work faithfully and well, but you know what the second thing is? Never compromising your integrity. That's a balance, isn't it? Never compromising your integrity. Now, we read today from Daniel chapter 3. Over in Daniel chapter 6, decades later, Babylon is conquered by Persia. And Daniel lived for so long that he served the Babylonian Empire and then entered service in the Persian Empire. And the people that opposed Daniel in the days of Persia, check this out, you can look it up later, Daniel 6 verse 5, they want to undermine him and they literally say, the only way we will ever get at Daniel is to try to compromise him over matters to do with his God. What a wonderful testimony that is, right? People understand, this guy is a good and faithful and a hard worker, the king likes him, he's been promoted, he's moving up the ladder, but the one thing he won't compromise is about his God. So can we serve in a country where the majority of people are not believers? Yes. Can we work hard if you work for a company where the majority of people aren't believers? Yes. But what if they say to you, I want you to deny your God? No. I think we all know that. I just wanted to make clear that we say it out loud, right, at a regular basis. So I want you to hear, everyone, when you go to work this afternoon or tomorrow or whenever, how are you going to do it? Faithfully and well. Not compromising your integrity. Now, does the world ever ask a Christian to compromise their integrity? Yes. There are things that get said and done, and what are we going to say? I'm not with that. And here's the other phrase we got to know then. Come what may. Now, imagine this. Nebuchadnezzar has conquered and conquered and conquered. And what happens to men of power? They get greedy. And I want to say something that's true very much. They also get a little full of themselves. Right? And so Nebuchadnezzar said, I am going to build a golden statue and I'm going to make everybody worship it. Now, by the way, I love the text, right? You remember it says the prefects, the counselors, the satraps, the officials, and all those things. And weren't you tired of me reading that list several times? You know what that was saying? That was saying that Babylon has conquered the entire Middle Eastern world. And people from entirely all across the empire, from all kinds of provinces, and all kinds of job titles. He's saying, I want all those people to worship my idol. And what will most people do? They'll worship it. Why? They're thinking, I think I'll keep my paycheck, right? Now, I want us to be aware of this. As a believer in Christ, if they say to you, you have to compromise your faith, you're going to say what? Absolutely not. What if it's at the cost of personal harm? That's still a no. That's still a no. Now, sometimes people like to say the book of Daniel is fiction. It is not. This is history. This happened. Now, I want us to know something about not our religion, but the way the world sees religion. Because people say, well, this is foolishness. He built a golden idol and told people to worship it. Nobody believed that. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I always love, some of you have heard the quotation from Seneca the Younger, a writer in the first century Roman Empire. He said that religion, now hear him, this isn't me, Seneca says, religion was regarded by the common people as true, by the wise as false, and by the government as useful. Anybody ever hear that before? So, does Nebuchadnezzar believe in the golden idol? No, but you know what he does believe in? He believes in unity. And he's conquered what he considers to be the known world. And he's on top of the heap. And he has said, I'm going to make an idol and everybody's going to worship it. Why? To have cohesiveness. He doesn't care, true or not, I want cohesiveness. Now, I want to be very, very clear about something. That is not the biblical worldview about religion. Right? The religion of the Bible is, this is the true God of the universe who has created everything and redeemed you, and he's saying, there is one God and no other. Right? There's one God and no other. We are not saying, hey, religion works because it makes people passive. That's what the government thinks. Let's make them religious. And if they all bow down, good, we got one country, one religion. That's what the government's thinking. You are thinking, I am thinking, this is the truth of God's word. Christ has done things really and in history for you and for me. And so this isn't compromisable, right? Now the government thought, this is entirely unreasonable. You can believe or not believe. All you have to do is kneel down to the idols we make, right? Rome did the same thing. All you had to do was say Caesar is God and Lord. Christians wouldn't do it. Right? Caesar is God and Lord. Are we going to say that? No. I only say it as an example. I'm not confessing it. So Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, you guys are being unreasonable. And he literally says, right, he's basically saying, I'm going to give you another chance. I know you didn't do it before, but I want us to notice again, the adversaries of the Jews are saying, we know how to get them. They won't compromise on their religion. All right, let that be known of us. And so enemies, by the way, these people are pushing their own careers, right? They're saying, let's get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out. Then I'll be somebody. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll give you another chance. Are you going to bow? And what do they say? No. No. That sets up the fiery furnace. Now, I want us to say this. The fiery furnace is a miracle. Right? It's a miracle. Now, unbelievers will say, it's not a miracle, it's a legend. No. It's in my Bible. I accept it to be true that God has done this. Now, does God always rescue believers who are being persecuted? No. Countless believers have been executed by tyrants over the years. God may or he may not. I do not know why he does and does not. I do know that Babylon was so powerful, God said, I have to really specially intervene in this, and he did. I want to say this. If believers are executed for the faith, what happens to them? They go to heaven. That's perfectly fine, right? I don't think anybody wants to be persecuted, but if we're going to get persecuted, send me to heaven. That's all right, right? And so that's what there's. Did you even notice? They said, our God is capable to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, did you catch that? They literally say that. Even if he doesn't, we won't bow down to your gods. And who shows up? Of all things, Christ does, right? So it's a miraculous event to be thrown into a fire to not be burnt. It says not even a hair of their head was singed. Hair stinks when it burns. Everybody know that? So true story. Renee probably knows where I'm going. I'm terrible at cooking, even grilling. And I know as a guy you're supposed to be good at grilling. I'm not. And one time, it wouldn't light. And so we had a gas grill. And I turned the gas grill on and closed the lid and let it build up. And then when I opened it, I stuck a match in there. It was awesome. It made a sound. It literally went, phoom, like that. And I walked in with my eyebrows singed and the hair on my arm singed. And Renee said, Walt, what did you do? And I said, I lit the grill. So I want to say, the grill was lit. I just want to stand on that. I mean, I was also lit, but the grill was ready. I want us to get this. These guys were not singed. The Lord did not protect me from myself. Anyway, I'll just say no more about that. But anyway, they were protected by the Lord. And they throw in three. And Nebuchadnezzar is looking and saying, didn't we throw in three? Why is there a fourth? That's Christ, right? It's entirely miraculous. And again, people can put it on the shelf of legend. I'm going to put it on the shelf of Christ showed up to save these men in a miraculous and special event. God can deliver by his power. And sometimes God calls his children to be with himself. I know not which it'll be, right? But I do know that as long as you're faithful to God, he takes you to heaven. But imagine this. I want us to look at what he said. Nebuchadnezzar says, the fourth one looks like a son of the gods. A son of the gods. Now, here's the fun thing about it is how to translate that. When he says son of the gods, you could say, well, Nebuchadnezzar's a pagan. He believes in lots of gods. He doesn't understand it, so he says that. But here, what do you guys know about the name of Israel's God? Not Yahweh, but when they saw it, when they say God, Yahweh's his name, but when they say God, how do they say it? Elohim. Elohim, is that a singular or a plural? That's a plural, right? El is God. Elohim is God. So Israel's God is called Elohim. And so you could translate it, he looks like one of the son, a son of the gods, but it could literally mean what? The son of God. He could be saying one of them looks like the son of God. And he doesn't come out of the flames, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. It's unique. It's unique in history. God did a special thing to save them. Why? They were in that soup right there. And God was going to preserve his people. So, what are we supposed to be? Hardworking, faithful to God, come what may, right? What might they threaten us with? Who knows? But we know what we will stand for, right? Right? We will stand with Christ who stands with us. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.